The All Black Podcast is powered by our official cloud software partner, SAP, helping our teams in black become the best-run teams in sport. To listen to this episode and all the All Black podcasts, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Kia ora whānau, welcome to the All Black Podcast, powered by SAP. The HSBC World 7 Series is well and truly underway. It's revamped series this year, some new destinations, a bit of a new structure, bit of promotion, relegation, and the game continues to grow at speed. You only have to tune into one of the tournaments to see how the standard is improving across all the sides. To discuss the All Black Sevens and the World 7 Series is Brady Rush, Leroy Carter, and Moses Leo. Welcome in to the studio, which happens to be the Mount Maunganui Rugby Club boys. Welcome.
Cheers, Brad.
Thanks for having us.
Well, it's commercial day, boys, and I know there's lots of responsibilities for the team, getting around, doing all the things you need to do. But obviously, you're here with me today because you're the best podcasters. Obviously, Libby and the team have had a look at the names and said, right, these guys have got great chat, and we're going to send them over, and they're going to do a fantastic job and represent the team really, really well. That's what I've been told. Like, is that correct?
Probably not on me and Mo's part, but... Old Brady Rush over here, he likes to talk a bit of taco, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I've been to a few rugby dinners, and the old man, mate, has been, you know, the keynote speaker, Eric Rush, and, like, it's pretty funny, I must admit. He's got a few good yarns, he delivers them well, so hopefully the apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree, and you can throw the boys under a bus.
Yeah, we'll see how we go. A few stories.
Good Northlander, I like it. Boys, a few warm-up questions, try and get us going, but... Yeah, all ears. You know, favourite players growing up and why? You know, is there anyone when you think back to when it all started, people you looked at and thought, like the way he does it?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Sonny Bill growing up. Yeah, so didn't quite have the size as him, so it was more of a jealousy thing, I think. But yeah, just the offload and his ball carrying abilities, yeah.
Yeah, and I used to watch quite a bit of Sevens back when I was growing up, so... A few of the older boys on the team, Timmy, Joey, Scars, Dills, Tomasi, our coach now, and then old fellas like DJ and Sharon and all those kind of fellas. So, yeah, those are the kind of fellas I looked up to.
Quite cool to sort of probably now be, you know, Scars, Scott Curry, you know, Dicko, like these guys are still on the team and now who used to watch you playing with them. That's quite cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty special. I still have to pinch myself every now and again, but yeah, there's just some of the boys now, so it's pretty cool.
I actually talked to Tomasi yesterday and he said, you know, sometimes there's a few injuries or sometimes... you know, the boys are not picking up what he's putting down, so he just puts the boots on and snaps a few ankles, gets out there and shows you how to do it. Is that true, or is he just talking it up for me?
He hasn't collected my ankles, but I've shown him my back a few times and he's out now. He's still unreal. He's still got it.
He still looks pretty fit for a mid-40s gentleman. But there's what about yourself, mate? Anyone that you looked up to growing up?
A lot of my, like... idea or role models came from Rugby 08. I used to play that a lot growing up, so like the Blues were my favourite team, Doug Carlett, Gerald Thurko, Anthony Tuitavake.
Yeah.
And then watching Sevens, Tim Mickelson, Tomas Thama.
Yeah.
Unreal players, and to sort of be around them now is pretty surreal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Mm. Like for you guys, we all have sort of important people on the journey, eh? Like, is there anyone sort of most influential people in your career, whether it be, you know, right back in the day in junior footy, school rugby, or even today? Does anyone spring to mind?
Yeah, for me, I guess a lot of the boys in our team as well, like my old man. Stubbs, he's coached me when I was like young fella, clash heads all the time, but I know he just wants the best, and so he's been pretty influential in my rugby journey.
Yeah, bit of positive criticism, is it, Leroy, mate? Yeah. Just let you know if he thinks...
A couple like had to walk to trainings, just kicks me out of the car, but... It's all good for it, and he's been a big help in my life.
I'd probably say the same.
The old man.
Yeah. Oh, and mum's always there too, and then having a brother, quite close to age, Rob. So that was always pretty tough growing up. So we're always just butting heads, but yeah, they're probably the most influential on my career, and my older brothers as well. So yeah.
For me, a few people come to mind. So my older brother Troy Leo, from knee rugby in the lounge to make it on the field. Also Aaron Katsupa, one of my coaches growing up, and then I stay with him now, sort of like an uncle to me, and my best friend Manning Smith as well, sort of been with me.
How good, I love it. Boys, chucking it to you a little bit, like, and again, doesn't matter whether it's junior rugby, school rugby, NPC, the sevens that you're playing now, best players that you've played with and against, do some guys spring to mind who either, you know, might have left you in their dust, or you know, guys that you put the jersey on with, you were like, geez, that boy can play, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of them in this team. I guess Joe Weber.
Yeah.
Just every time he puts on the jersey, something special happens, so it's pretty mean playing with him. Aquila in our team last year was probably the most dominant player in the Sevens circuit. Well, he was. And yeah, he just does some freakish stuff, especially for me, like, just wish I could do it. It doesn't quite happen sometimes, but no, he's unreal, yeah.
Brain.
Yeah, I'd probably say it's kind of the same people.
Yeah.
Then, Quilla, he's just a freak. But then I played with some club players over my years as well. And, like, yeah, they've just been unlucky to have injuries or whatnot. But I thought they'd be the ones to crack it over me, to be honest. But, yeah, I was quite lucky to stay in there. Mm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there's some freaks in our team, definitely. Hate seeing the Rocket Man Aquila in front of you, especially if he shows you your back in the 7-on-7. Gooey, watch out. Still gets you with the gooey. But, played with a few good players too. Same with Brady growing up in club. See some freaks come through, but somehow don't make it. And playing with guys like Shooter as well. It's always playing touch with them growing up. And then also seeing Sean Stevenson, growing up. So. Yeah, he's always sort of been good at rugby, but his common sense could,
could
use a little bit of work, I think.
Yeah, classic. I love that. Boys, if you know, we're all sitting here today and we're part of the, you know, the All Black Sevens team, which is pretty cool. And but if you weren't, you know, like you say, some of your mates who you thought were going to crack it, maybe if you went that way, what would you be doing? What do you think would be your profession if you weren't strapping on the boots every week?
Well, I started my electrical apprenticeship before I came in the team, so did that for about 2 years, and then sort of...
Would I get you to change my lights, mate?
No, I wouldn't, not anymore anyway. I was pretty useless, to be fair, like when I'll come into my 10 seasons and then go back to electrical, forget half the stuff that I'd known before, but yeah, probably a sparky, I guess.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, and I got a fairly decent rig, so probably like a... topless waiter or something.
I like it. Abercrombie and Finch, front door guy.
I was doing my building apprenticeship before I started playing rugby, so either that or pushing trolleys at Newell with my old man.
With the old man,
So.
Well, same thing, like, you know, if the price is right, could I get you around and build a deck, or is it all forgotten?
Well, I don't know about that, mate. If I'd be on the angle, but
right. Because I made the team, I think, when I was 23, I was working in like high schools, running like academies and sort of like doing personal training as well, working in physio clinics and around that health and fitness space.
Yep. Good man. I love it. Right, boys, chuck it out there. Like, so, and surely you boys can operate well in the kitchen. But if you boys are having a dinner party, a couple of questions. One, what's on the menu? Like, what's your go-to if you're truly trying to impress? And if you could have one guest each along, who would it be, you know? Leroy, what's on the menu, mate?
I'm not too sharp in the kitchen, pretty basic, but I'm a big nachos fan.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so go with my nachos.
I thought you know, yeah.
Bit of guac, sour cream, jalapenos.
Yeah.
Get a little spice in there. And then I think the key to the nachos is put the chips down in the cheese. Give it a wee melt in the microwave, then mince on top, then cheese again.
Yeah.
And then you put all your herbs and spices on top. But yeah, that would be my go-to.
That sounds good.
Who I would want to come? That's a good question. Wouldn't mind having Conor McGregor come along. That would be all good.
That would
good
be an
chat.
Amazing chat, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Good coin. Hopefully we could have it on his boat. Maybe I could go on his boat. But yeah, that would totally. That'd be all good, I reckon.
Serious high rollers, those boys, aren't they? Brady.
Well, that's my flatty, so I'll let you know.
Yeah, let's see if we're talking the truth here.
I'll let you know if he tells the truth.
What's my go-to?
Well, I don't know. You should tell Brady what his go-to is.
Yeah, maybe you should tell
us. His missus kicks him half the time anyway, so you ought to hear this.
Nah, I don't mind a good nachos either, but if I was trying to make something pretty nice, I'll probably go like a crispy pork bao bun with some grated cucumber, some carrot, bit of coriander on top, some kewpie mayo.
Here we go.
Maybe a bit of a chicken run on the side.
I like it.
And then like cheeky like hash brown things. They're like hash browns with little balls.
Yeah,
they're pretty tasty.
Who's coming, mate?
Who's coming? I don't know. Who's pretty decent? I'd probably like LeBron James. He'd be pretty cool to get around. Went and watched him in LA, and he's a bit of a freak, so be good to know how he did to last so long or how he's doing it. So that'd be pretty cool.
It's a cool thing, isn't it, that you boys, you know, you get around so there's opportunities to go see those sort of things. And, like, we've talked about it on a couple of podcasts with other players, but, like, what is he, 6'6 or 6'7? Probably run as fast as a lot of the guys in the squad. He's doing it at 38. Like, it's sort of hard to get your head around that, isn't it? Probably seeing him in person was probably pretty cool, eh?
Yeah, he's a bit of a freak, bro. He's just like, the first three quarters was just kind of like directing the boys, and then last quarter, bro, he just turned it on, eh?
We sort of see a different version of LeBron in our team, Timmy Mickelson.
Yeah.
You know, just the GOAT.
Yeah.
37, still running 35s, 36s.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, he's a bit of a GOAT in our team.
17th year in the team.
Mate, he is.
He's sort of the little bond of sevens, a bit weird, isn't he? He's been around so long.
Yeah.
Moses, like, is that, firstly, is that a fair call?
I've honestly never seen
you've seen that.
I've never seen Brady make pork in his life. His missus made it last night. And he was there putting the bao buns in the microwave. There's a little bit of water to steam them up.
You served it up, mate. It's good as.
I don't know, that was a couple of nights ago. But, for me, I love my lamb, so I'll probably go some sort of lamb. Maybe chuck it on a barbie just to show off my skills, you know. Bit of chat, barbie chat, you know.
Better never have a barbecue.
This is the home, you know.
This is not for the flatties. This is special at home. Yeah. Right, last sort of warm-up question. You know, as we talked about, you guys get around a lot. I assume, you know, there's a few tour stops and roommates, et cetera. Any best and worst roommates? You know, if you really, you know, if the manager came to you and said, look, you know, put one down on a bit of paper that you'd like to room with and one down on a bit of paper that you would not like to room with. This will be anonymous. Don't worry about it. You know, where are we heading?
Oh, I think that's quite an easy question for most of the team, the worst roommate.
Yeah.
And he's sitting right next to me.
Yeah, I'd have to back Bonfer up there and, you know, Neville over here is probably not the best.
And what's driving that, boys? You know, why is that?
Just the first thing you see in the morning, like not really what you want.
Yeah, it's not how you want to wake up.
Wakes up in these V-banger undies, walks around with, looks like he's got a carver bowl in his chest. And just constantly talking. You get headaches.
Not good talks too, eh? Not good talks.
Yeah. Snotty nose, you just feel like you're going to get sick.
Those are some big nostrils, oxygen thieves, those.
Oh, shit.
You're getting it, mate. You're getting it.
It is tough. Whereas best, that's just pretty much anyone else.
That's a lie. I think they probably put me as the worst and the best at the same time, to
you
be
reckon?
Honest.
I like that. I like, mate, write a reply. Like, well, you know, what about yourself?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Probably that guy's is bad. I don't do snoring, bro, so snoring's... Anyone that snores, you're off my list. Yeah, there's a couple. I won't name and shame them, but there is a couple. There is? Oh, Fehi, Cody Vivo. I'm sure Roddy snores as well. Yeah, there's a few of them.
Best roommate, whether he's a good card player, whether he's tidy, like whether he's, you know, got a good playlist, like who are we signing up?
Regan Ware and Tone, they've always got good snacks.
Yeah, Tone and Shoes, just because his jaw's always full of snacks. It's pretty cool.
You also Aquila, because he's got a lot of family that come to a lot of the destinations. They drop off snacks too.
Regan's pretty bad, I reckon.
Regan.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah, he stinks.
Yeah, he stinks.
Oh yeah.
Constantly
have
farting.
Have you seen his disco toes?
Yeah, and his toes no good.
No good. Sort of elf toes or something.
Oh yeah. No, they're like bruised. Like he just like
probably 90% of them.
Blisters. Not a good look.
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah, it's not nice.
Like insightful, really insightful, lads. Right, talk a little bit about footy. Like for you guys, you know, what are the early days in rugby look like, and when did you sort of, when did Sevens get on your radar? You know, like for you, what was you know, we're here at Blake Park, which, you know, for many people from the, you know, from Tauranga and the Bay of Plenty, like this is where you almost do your first 3, 4, 5 years of footy. You know, it's pretty cool too as well. You know, like was that you, Leroy? I know you're from around here.
Oh, well. Yeah, I was born here, but I actually did my first 9 years in Gold Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, so parents moved over there, so I was playing for Helensville Hogs, which is a rugby club over there for, 9 years, but then moved over for college.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was at Tauranga Boys College where you sort of...
Yeah, Tauranga Men's, that's where I went to college. So, wicked school, enjoyed my time there in first 15 and whatnot. It was pretty cool because like our school didn't have a boarding house, so we were the only school in the Super 8 comp that was just like local boys, which we loved. I don't know if it helped us or not, but
it was, we were proud of it.
Yeah, we were pretty proud of it, and still all my best mates are still around and still yarn to, which is Hissing. Yeah, so really enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, we're all, you know, gosh. So many Kiwi rugby players have a school game that can always reflect on, whether it's a Rotorua game or a Hamilton boys game or some time where it's almost those memories are entrenched, aren't they, sometimes. Is there a game that sticks out for you in the...
Westlake, because he still has a beat of them, mate.
Bro, we beat Westlake every pre-season, boy. Yeah, there's like always the Rotors games that were our like rivals, but we didn't really come out on top. Most of them gave them some good nudges at times, but I guess it was our school tour that stuck out for me the most. We went to Italy and France when I was year 13, so that was pretty mean. Like just a bunch of schoolboys that have been mates for 5 years go on like a 2-week tour overseas, which was some of my best memories come from that tour.
I love it. Brady, for you, was it up in Northland? Like, where did the sort of rugby career kick off? Was it, you know, bare feet and ripper rugby, or was it straight into tackle from when you were 4 years old? What did it look like?
I actually grew up in Auckland. Started playing rugby at East Tamaki Rugby Club out south, Otara. So a few big names come out of there, so I'm pretty proud of that. And then school at Westlake for my first year, and then moved back up north, back up to the roots, played for Kaio Rugby Club, Te Whanau. unbeaten up there actually, so we'll take that. And then went to school at Kirikiri High School, and then that's kind of when our rugby kind of kicked off. Me and my brother both made the Blues 18s, and just being up there, like there's not much to do up there, so we just trained, to be honest. It was either go work at the shop with my old man or train, so yeah, we kind of knew what we wanted to do, stay away from the shells, so that's pretty much just started off on there.
I started when I was 4 in my brother's team. Started at Navy Rugby Club, then went to Takapuna, and then from there, Westlake, grew up, Dub Lakes, Swans Up. Sort of had a period where I just got injured and was just working a lot, and then met Ngarohi, Makabe Black, and in North Harbour through the COVID, and then he sort of gave me a door to go through with Ignite Sevens, and then from there just played Sevens from there.
I love it, and I just want to ask you guys is like that transition to the Sevens. Obviously played footy, you know, through the schools and the clubs, and played 15s and all that sort of stuff. When did Sevens get on the radar? I know you probably played a bit of Condors and a bit of stuff at school and you know, a bit of halfback at school. Now you're doing a lot of wing. Like, what did that transition look like? When was it like, oh, hang on a minute, I might give like Sevens a red hot crack, and maybe who opened the door for that opportunity?
Yeah, Yeah, so I played Condors and all that at school, which is always enjoyed my sevens, and then sort of came out and I was doing some Chiefs preseason stuff. And then it wasn't really till my first year, Mitre 10, and then Joey was in the team.
Yeah.
Joey Webber, and then he just sort of took me under his wing, was always in my ear about coming over to sevens, and I was like, oh yeah, like keen, like sort of started getting more keen, and then Clarkie just hit me up to come to Ignite yes. thing, and then pretty much just kicked off from there, played Ignite, went all right, and then yeah, just got offered a contract. But I was doing some weekly stuff as well, so I went up to Auckland when we were playing Aussie as like a replacement player.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess it was Joey, like Joey yeah. was just always in my ear, hurry up, come play sevens and all that. So then I yeah
joined the
yeah
on recruitment. I like yep. it. Brady.
I've always enjoyed playing sevens.
Obviously, sevens is in the blood a little bit, or it's always been on the radar with the old man, and you've watched a lot of it and probably played around. But when was, you know, what kind of pushed you to have a red hot crack? Was it sounds like the Ignite was actually a really big part of it for all of you guys, like to have that kind of specific tournament, be able to throw a bunch of sort of talented emerging players together was actually a bit of a turning point for a lot of you, is that right?
Yeah, I'd say it was. Started playing like Condors, same as Bonfa, and then we both made that tournament team that year. And then the Ignite was probably the one that kicked it off for all three of us, just out here, Blake Park. So it was quite cool. I don't know where that came from actually. Selector from up north, I think it was JT Thomas. Cheers, JT. Appreciate it, bro. Got down, had a bit of a jam, and then 2 weeks later, got a phone call from a Scottish dude. Couldn't understand anything he could say. But I said, yep, the whole time. And then,
I think you're offering me a contract. Yeah, I think I will say yes.
Yep, sweet, hung up. Yeah. And not until he texts me what he really said, I got the combo. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love it. Moses?
Yeah, pretty similar with me with the seven side of things. So sort of only played sevens just at the end of 15 seasons just to fill in my summer and a bit of touch as well. And then, just met Ngarohi in the wider group for North Harbour, and he sort of just slipped my name in to get me in for the Ignite. And then from there, also had a Scottish man. Trying to sign me up, had his assistant coach there to translate, Basil. So,
So it was Ngarohi Mugavi Black. He was playing with you, was he, at Harbour, and actually thought, geez, this guy can go. He could be good at sevens, and what sort of promoted you to Clark, or gave Clark a ring and said maybe you should have a look at this fella.
Yeah. So for that night, I think all the boys could just drop some names in the hat to get invited to the comp. And I think he put a few names forward, and they all said yes. We all said yes. And then two other boys pulled out, and I almost pulled out just because I was scared just coming down by myself. And then lucky I didn't, because I'd probably be still working in Massey High School right now.
Yeah. Mate, that's awesome, isn't it? That's a real sliding door moment, and it's great that, one of your players now saw something in you and was prepared to sort of put your name forward and go into bat with you. That's pretty cool. That's awesome, actually. Look, boys, tell me a little bit around, like, because I'm allergic to sevens. I'm slow, I'm small, like, there's nothing really going for me, but there's, and so I've just avoided it like the plague. But when you get in there, like, because you predominantly play 15s, do you pick the game up quickly? Is it actually not as hard as it looks if you've got a bit of gas and you've got a bit of nous and you can pick it up? Or actually, when you boys come into this environment, it's like, whoa, it's a steep learning curve, but I suppose learn fast and rip in.
Yeah, there's definitely some learning there, especially because I was playing a lot of half when I was playing 15s, and I came in and a couple of skills don't really translate into the sevens game. But it took me a little while, but it's definitely a big learning curve. I think some positions you can, and some players can jump in between like quite well, and then some stars in the 15s game, like it doesn't translate over as much, and then vice versa as well. So it's definitely a different game. There's a lot more skills that are quite different to the 15s game, but it took me a while, but got there in the end, I think.
I find it pretty cool. I grew up playing touch and like a bit of seven, so it was quite not second nature, but I felt quite more comfortable. Just with like a bit more room as well. But I think it's like the physicality was probably the one and the speed of the game, just at this kind of level, was the one that I got shocked about most. But yeah, when you got dudes like these two around you, it's pretty easy to play all right.
Yeah, the transition, it's obviously, it's two different games, so it's difficult. And I think if you're just, comes down to your willingness to learn and how coachable you are, and the type of head you have on your shoulders, it's a real ruthless game, unforgiving game. You miss a tackle, someone's going 80 metres, whereas in 15s, probably someone's going to clean it up within two or five metres and you can get back. So a lot of it comes down to effort and just how fast you buy into the team and to the culture, and because you spend a lot of time with each other. So 2 weeks on the road and you got to get used to everyone pretty quick, and I can't really say a bad word about anyone in our team.
Except for Brady as a roommate.
Yeah, Brady's...
I think I'm just a punching bag, bro. They must have hard feelings about someone else and they just come for
mate,
me.
You're happy to take it for the boys, aren't you? Happy to take it.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it's what you touch on there, Moses, like, what, 20, 25 guys spend a huge amount of time together. But I must imagine too, and I talked a little bit about to Clark about this last year before he moved on to the Hurricanes, but like, there's got to be some days out there when you're going 7-on-7 and you guys are tight and you're all trying to improve each other, but you're also, we're all playing for places as well. There must be some good games of sevens when you go, when you're ripping in, and that must also be, that must accelerate your learning, you know, because like you say, it seems like there's nowhere to hide, and sometimes you're watching and it looks like there's no space and it's hugely physical, but like you say, one break, and then there's not that layers of defence like there is in 15s, is there? So you must get a huge amount of learnings at training, though, eh?
Yeah, 100%. Those trials that we have before the team selected, probably the most physical game of sevens that we play. Boys play like 5 minutes and you come off pretty sore. So, yeah, the boys go hard in those 7-on-7s, and it is a pretty big mental game as well. Like, when you're cooked, you just gotta, there's no hiding, you know, you can't just go out to the wing and have a rest, you gotta keep working. So, but I think that's why we love it. That's why we got put in the team, because we love that.
That aspect.
Yeah, that aspect of the game. And that's why all the boys have been in this team for a reason, like, because they can go deep. And yeah, I guess we just love it.
Yeah, mate, I'm picking your dark places a little bit darker than mine. Like, that's you boys.
Oh, clearly. He's been to some dark places.
I get tired watching Leroy play. Like, you go 100 the whole time. It's pretty impressive. But yeah, and boys, we're well and truly into the series. In fact, we're over halfway. How are we tracking? We've got a few bumps and bruises, so we're obviously trying to get, you know, some fellas fit again. Maybe restricts a little bit what we can do at training, but we're at home for a bit, eh? And then we've got a big finish, big second half of the season. How are we looking? If I flick on the tally, like, you know, who am I keeping an eye on? You know, who are some of the, perhaps the newer names that are pretty exciting? Because there's one thing I really notice following you guys is it's an awesome series. You know, we've got such a strong tradition in it. There's 20, 25 guys out there representing the All Black Sevens, but it's effectively an away series. You know, like, you guys are always away. There's a couple of good time zone crossovers where you get to watch it on a Sunday evening or stay up a bit late and watch Hong Kong Sevens like I have my whole life. But some of them are Monday morning finals and overnight and stuff. So, you know, there's a few things you miss. Like, how's the series going? How are the teams tracking? Guys, now, is there anything to sort of point out for people who might be going to tune in for the rest of the series?
Yeah, well, the series has kind of changed a little bit. Yeah. It's dropped from 16 teams to 12. So it's just made the games a whole lot tougher. I think we lost one game, one tournament, and ended up coming eighth. So it's pretty cutthroat, the kind of rugby that we're playing at the moment. But... yeah, we just got told this morning that we're off to Fiji on Wednesday to play in the Marish comp.
Yeah.
So that'll be pretty exciting. 100 Fijian teams. So got to prep for that. Pass and duck kind of buzz.
Yeah.
But our big goals as a team is the Paris Olympics in July. So we're building for that. trying to find our feet as a team again after a pretty successful season last year. But the teams are getting a lot better. Everyone's getting a bit faster, more physical. Their rugby centre's getting better. So, yeah, we just got to step our game up a little bit more.
It's pretty cool to see, actually. Like, you turn on and you see, you know, the RGs have gone up a level. It looks like Ireland have gone up a level. Like, the, of course, yourselves, Fiji, like Aussie, look like they're building a little bit as well. Like you say, it's kind of brutal, which is kind of awesome. You know, like, you've got to be on the top of your game, and that's not just you guys, that's anyone, isn't it? If you don't have a good week, or even not a good game, then you get found out. So I suppose that's how you guys are trying to prepare, I suppose.
Yeah, the competition's pretty unreal, especially at a spectator's point. Great Britain made the final in the last tournament. Your Spains are beating Fiji. Yeah. Like, it's which is unreal, which is mean. Like, heaps of competition. That's just how the game's growing, I think. And we got to grow with it, I guess. And we had a couple of injuries. Like, boys are coming in, boys are coming out, but it's good because our young boys are getting game time. So they're becoming ready for when they get called upon, which is wicked to see from our point. And I guess we just keep growing as a team. And I have no doubt that by the time the Olympics comes around, we're going to be humming. And even though some of the results haven't gone our way as of yet, I'm pretty confident that we're going to be humming when we need to be. So, yeah.
I love it. And Moses, like, we talked a little bit off camera before we got into this, like, you know, to have Michael Hooper putting his name in the hat to play with Aussie, that's pretty cool. He's played like 130 test matches for Australia in footy. And, Antoine Dupont, you know, is going to put his name in the hat for France. And, you know, that's going to get a few more eyeballs on the series and on the game. And you know, who knows, you guys might end up, playing against those guys, maybe even in their hometowns. Like, that's another pretty awesome element to the series this year, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So, well, Sevens being an Olympic sport, it's pretty appealing to not only the public but players around the world, because it's sort of the pinnacle of sports almost, and especially a lot of eyes. So to have players of that calibre come across, it brings a lot of eyes to our game as well. So it's good for the growth of our game, but it just means we have to be a bit better. And so hopefully when we head off to Fiji, pack the chandals and get it done.
Mate,
the
so
Ponce sort of turned into like the Taylor Swift day of the
of the
Sevens world, but it's all good. New eyes is good for the game and good for us.
Yeah, 100%. Hey boys, look, thanks so much for coming in. I really appreciate it. Like, have you got some other duties today? Is this your sole responsibility to be top podcasters, or are you off to anything else?
No, I don't have a lot on. Probably go over feed and then feed up, I think.
Yeah, you can go put the pork on.
Feed up, slasher, and then maybe some pork bao buns.
I think I might go do my 1,000 push-ups and run up the mount a couple of times.
Extras.
I probably would have put it past them, to be honest. But
extras.
Yeah. Boys, thanks so much. Look, good luck for the rest of the series. Hopefully get as many fit bodies available throughout the course of the rest of the season. Good luck in Fiji. Like you say, pass and duck and weave and whatever needs to be done. But sounds like also an awesome opportunity just to continue to learn and grow and go over to sort of, you know, almost the home of Sevens, isn't it, the way those guys approach it. So I'm sure it'll be good for the squad. Appreciate it, boys, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having us.
The All Blacks podcast is powered by our official cloud software partner, SAP, helping our teams in black be the best run in sports. Hosted by Rob Dunn in the Hargrave Street Studio. Produced by Carl Thompson from Blue and Ginge, the podcast producers. Video editing by Mac Leesburg, graphics by Western Design, content advising from Andy Burt, and commercial manager for the podcast is Valeska Hove. Follow the All Blacks podcast on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and anywhere you get your podcasts.